Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have the policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello, everybody.
Good evening. How are you?
How are you today?
Okay. Hi, but okay. Well, I mean, I could be outside and not have any air. That would be worse.
You hot?
Always hot.
Don't they make pills for that?
I don't know. I don't take pills. I don't do none of that. But it's nice at, 11 o'clock at night going to pool for about an hour.
Is that when it's dark out so nobody can see or what?
Well, no, that's just, it's not out during the heat of the day when it's most dangerous, people that take blood pressure medicine.
Oh, okay.
So at least this way you don't have the sun blasting on you, it's a nice night swim at, 90 degrees is what I jumped in the pool with last night. It's, can
90
it get
degrees
a little
overnight?
Bit cooler?
Yeah. Wow. Oh, it was 60. It was 65 this morning on the way to work. It was, and it actually, my bike runs better in when it's like that.
And the heat or in the cold?
Oh, it's 65 degrees. Runs better.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, normally it does because it's not working up so much. I can't get the chat. It's not working up so much on the motor, and stuff.
Right.
When you're running cooler than what you do in the heat. Unfortunately, here, the excessive heat we're stuck in the middle of, there's no way around it. But the guys are out jumping in it every day, It's just how it is. And I know it.
Right.
Can't get in the chat. It's not letting me in there. Anyways, otherwise things are fine. You got big plans for the 4th, or?
Yeah. It's just
going
for
a ride
in the
busy.
Morning. And going on, probably going to go down to Ensenada.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's about 100 miles. Just to get out
That's
of the
not bad.
Yeah, just get out of the neighborhood.
Right. No, I'm not doing anything special. Just grill and stay in the cool air when the fan's going, So, anything new coming up on your end? Nothing new is on this end.
Yeah, Thursday. Well, last weekend, I was out in... on Saturday I went to, I seen a little bit of the Born Free.
Okay.
Protest. I just watched a lot of the bikes go in. I didn't go inside. And then,
right.
And then Sunday was at the Bad Ride with, my friend Emilio Rivera and Rusty. And we happened to see the guy from, the Devil's Ride Gypsy and his wife, the cop. And a few other people, but we had a good time and met another guy. His name is Paul Renteria. He's an actor. He played in that movie Due Date. He plays the Border Patrol officer.
Right.
And then there was a few other people here and there. And Emilio should be on Thursday. I'm still waiting for a little confirmation.
Right. Well, I hope it all pans out. I've already got, everything set up. Or, paper set up.
So So what else is going on? You said you might read something about
Yeah, there's a new thing that's coming into play. It's in your area. Of course everything is. Let's see. It's California laws are taking effect as of July 1st, which we're 3 days into it, which is all taking place in your state. So I figure if it's all right, I'll get, you know, reading on that, because I thought it was pretty interesting myself. In Sacramento, where the laws are taking present at the time, or right at the current time, some of the laws are taking effect as of July 1st. One is it will no longer be legal to produce or sell, is that foie gras? Well, I mean, it's game. We'll put it, it's game meat. French or fatty liver in California. The product is made by force-feeding geese or ducks, which I can understand that to a certain degree. But I think that should be left up to the individual person. We have stores like that here. And, you know, not everybody is going to eat it, but there are some people that do. Of course, it should be left up to the individual, but...
Right.
It's not going to take that, you know, stand there. The next one is car dealers must mark vehicles with bright red warning stickers if they are listed in a national database as junk salvage or in undated during floods. Before I finish this law here, now... During that hurricane, the ferocious hurricane that they had in Louisiana. Now, this is a good thing because it will protect people. Some of those vehicles that were immersed in so much water were brought up here in my state and probably other states as well for resale. So it wasn't stated these were immersed in floods and, you know, from flooding rains or hurricane. So, of course, you know, they just hurry up, clean them up, make them look decent, you know, get them out on the line, you know, and use car lots and everything else. Well, before you know it, then most states don't have the common lemon law. So, without that or without having it stated, you know, in regards to the lemon law, you're stuck with a crap car that came out of a hurricane. So I can understand that. Okay.
Well, you know the reason they do that, don't you, here, don't you?
Well, where are they going to put them? I mean,
well, no.
Yeah, look at the landfills. I mean, they're full to begin with. Where else
no,
are they going to put
them? I'm talking about California and the proximity to the border. They ship them here and they buy them and they take them down there. And those people just happen to buy them because they don't know any better.
Well, exactly. And that's the bottom line, because cars were coming up here and people didn't know. And then fully, they were never told the history behind it. Meaning, these were just, you know, taken out, cleaned up, made to look presentable and put on a used car lot. But this actually came from Louisiana. Do you want the car? Hell no, you don't want the car. It's going to give issues. I don't care what the hell they do with it. It's still going to give you grief. You know, anything used, you're getting somebody else's headache. Unfortunately, in this manner, you're getting somebody's car that was immersed probably in 12 feet of water.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be. Okay, just plain simple. There's mold in there. I don't care how well they clean it. The mold is still going to be in there. It messes up your whole wiring system, everything else. You know, so people that aren't aware of it, Of course they're not going to be told. They need a, car lots need a sale.
Right.
The economy sucks. And they don't give a damn. They'll just go, they'll put the cars out and poof, there it goes.
They have a place out here, cars for under $5,000.
Okay.
They're not brand new. They're a couple years old maybe, but they're the ones
right.
that people, you know, they're just passing the buck to somebody else.
Exactly. And, you know, here they have a smaller lot. It's not like your basic, you know, car lots, your used car lots. They have smaller lots where you take over payments. Okay.
Right.
So it doesn't matter where these vehicles come from. Somebody's got to beat the crap out of it. Somebody's got to be in an accident with it. And if you don't know how to look things up on a vehicle to begin with, to get the history on it, you're stuck.
No, and that's why a lot of them, if they tell you, you know, like the commercial says, show me the Carfax. They don't show it to you. That should be your first red flag.
Okay. But in reality, how many people actually pay attention to that commercial? You know, I mean, if you go look for a car, you understand how to get the blue book value. Well, if you understand how to get a blue book value, then you understand how to get the history on the vehicle. It's a no-brainer. As long as you have the VIN and make a model and year, you can get the history on the car.
Right.
Anyways, so, but I'll finish here. Dealers also raise the fee. They can charge for titles and registration from 55 to 80. So, yeah, of course, they stick that fee in no matter what. I don't care where it is you get a vehicle with your state and local tax is always going to be in there as well. Now, here, it can go anywhere from, like, close to $100 up, depending on what kind of car it is, what year it is, make and model. That plays a big factor. Of course, Illinois is a joke for a while anyways because it's just a highway robbery state. Tattoo and piercing artists and those who apply permanent cosmetics will also have to register each year with a local government and meet minimum statewide standards for the first time. School employees will get training with the prevention of bullying while victims get priority for transfers to a different school district. The definition of bullying is expanded to include posting material and an online social media website. Whoa, wait a minute. We got to back up on this one here.
Go ahead.
Okay, first we're going to hit the tattoo and piercing artists and, you know, cosmetics. They should be, you know, they should know what they need to have in the first place. You know, you can't just decide, you know, Phil, you can't just say, okay, you're going to quit your job one day and you're going to come home and tell your wife, you know, I'm sorry, hon, you know, I quit the job after X amount of years. I'm going to become a tattoo artist and don't have a clue. You're going to get all the stuff and open up a shop and woo-hoo, here you go. So they should have something in order to back them up. Most tattoo places do, but there are ones that are the inky-dinky ones, which are like based out of your house and I'll come to you, or we'll do tattoo parties. Yeah, get a clue, because if you're not doing it properly, people can bleed to death in regards to piercings and everything else. Pay attention, know what you're doing. And if they don't use the right stuff, then you can get the infections, the inflammations, and everything else. It's a pain in the butt. In regards to the bullying, now, if they're just focusing on what you can only see publicly on a network site, they should actually use that not just for web only, you know, and networking sites. They should also do for, you know, in regards to, you know, if there's taunting, if there's bullying, anything taking place with children that are, quote, not using computers yet because of their age. Because bullying doesn't start at the age of 12. and end at the age 15. It doesn't work like that.
No,
you know.
In fact, some people get bullied all their lives because they deserve what they tolerate.
Exactly. Well, but not always the case. You know, not everyone that gets bullied, you know, wants to tolerate it. They try to fight back. Or, you know, they just think, okay, well, it's going to go away. They're not asking for it. They don't want it. I had to deal with it with my daughter, and I swear to God, I'm going to just choke every child on the face of the earth. You know, it's rude. And most of it is a child's upbringing because they go home to empty houses or their parents are abusive or whatever the case may be. I don't care. They should do something. And not just using only, you know, networking sites. Bullshit. Schools also have websites, you know. Most schools do nowadays, so if there's something that's going on, you can see it on their websites. Whatever the case is, what's going on, that has to stop because it's just getting ridiculous. You know, kids don't want to be in school anymore because they're being terrorized. You know, it's just a vicious cycle. You know, and they don't realize, bullies don't realize what they do and how they scar people. You know, I don't care how old you get, you don't forget. You don't forget it. You won't tolerate it, but you don't forget it.
Right.
Unfortunately, bullies like to go in a pack, you know, and always have to section out one person, you know. Unfortunately, that's the worst part of bullying. Or, you know, I mean, it's just anything. Yeah, anything sets them off. You don't wear the right clothes. Or you don't hang with the right people. Or, you know, it doesn't look like you took a shower today. Or your parents don't have the right kind of job or drive the right kind of car or whatever they feel like doing at that moment. Kids are mean and they're cruel. So that's a good law. But they should expand that different than how they wanted, how they're stating it to be. Okay. Is there anything you want to say?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, the bullying part of it. I mean, when I was a kid, I grew up across the street from the projects in Chicago, over there by Cabrini Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to box real quick because I got tired of giving up my milk money.
Which is understandable. Most kids do.
Like I said, you know, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. I got bent over once and never happened again.
Right. Well, I was the kind of kid where I had the parents coming and knocking, or the parents coming and knocking on the door because I was beating the crap out of their sons because they were picking on my brother. I was the younger one. I didn't care, you know, because my brother, you know, when we were kids, he was overweight and I wasn't, okay? But the point of the matter was I wouldn't tolerate, you know, standing there or coming into the situation of seeing him circled, you know, while the neighborhood kids were taunting him. I had no problem running home and grabbing the bat. Okay, here we go, you know. And I was only chased after once because I grabbed the wooden one instead of a full band. You know, or, you know, I did the best I could to protect them. Unfortunately, it a lot of times made it worse. I didn't have a problem going up and slugging the kids right in the face. You know, my brother wasn't a fighter. I was. So I looked at the fact of somebody, and I always protect the ones that were the weaker. I didn't just go out to bully people in general, but I defended the weak.
Right.
And, you know, so I didn't give a damn what people thought of me, and I still do it today. I don't care. In regards to my daughter didn't have, she never wanted me to teach her what I learned growing up as a kid, you know.
Right.
Oh, it'll go away, it'll stop. No, it's not. Trust me. The times may be different. The kids are more crueler than what they were when I went to school or as I was growing up. But it's a sick society now than what it was then, you know. And, you know, I've seen random kids, boys. I mean, these are boys going at girls, you know. It's just kind of ridiculous, you know. And when I see kids walking down the sidewalk and boys are bullying on girls, I will dart out the front door. Stop right there. Stop. You know, I don't touch the kids, nothing like that. You know, and I sat there, I said, do you have a sister? Anything. You know, would you want somebody to talk to your family like that? Apologize. You know, and here's a poor girl, and it's the heavy set ones, or it's the ones that don't dress right. You know, whatever the case may be, because there's always cliques with the parents, you know. And I don't go into a clique. I stay away from it. I don't give a damn what the hell it is. But like I said, it's, you know, a lot of times it's not the kids that they bend over for. They just want to believe that if they just stay quiet, it'll stop.
Yeah.
You know, but I have told kids, I will go to jail. I'm going to pop you if you touch my kid. Trust me. I don't care. And if you don't like it, you go tell your parents to come face me. You know?
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, I was so ready to sue the school district. You know, I mean, I had an attorney. I had a case. He had a case. You know, I had to wear my daughter's front tooth was popped out. She came home black and blue. You know, this was from boys. Boys. Not from girls.
Yeah.
Boys. And, you know, then they're making fun of her because of our heritage. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And then, you know, it's like I'm telling the school, well, maybe if you do your homework, I have 180 days to file. Who the hell hears about somebody being made fun of because they're Native American? And it's a Hispanic boy picking at her. Really?
Yeah.
You know? And they don't like when you pull the law into play. Trust me. That school moved real quick.
Yeah,
you
know, and it's just like when the schools go zero tolerance, you know?
Yeah.
The same thing like when you're driving, you know, and the cops pull you over. Don't ever pull
right.
into the school grounds if you're carrying a knife while you're on a motorcycle. It's a felony. They'll arrest you
really?
For a felony. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
No, no.
That's everywhere
I only
in the
knew
United.
That you couldn't speed in the school zones.
You don't have
well,
to be speeding.
Who the hell would carry a knife in the school zone anyway?
No. You're on your bike or you're in your car. They pull
okay.
you over. You get out. They tell you they want to search you or search the car.
Right.
They put a knife on you and you're on school property. It's a felony.
Well, you know, there's a fine line there because people can carry knives to a certain length. Every state is different. We know this. Somebody could be on their way home. All of a sudden, it's a traffic stop. Go figure. It's in the school zone. You know,
yep.
It's not like it would purposely happen. You know,
no,
so here comes idiots. Oh, you're going to do something to a kid.
That's just like Oceanside from Wisconsin to the harbor. From Pacific Coast Highway to the beach, they tripled the fines. There's no smoking anywhere. From Wisconsin to the harbor, it's about 5 miles.
Okay.
And then it, from the Pacific Coast Highway to the beach, it's 3 or 4 blocks either way because it follows the coast. But they tripled all the fines for everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Like I said,
yeah.
it's just unreal what takes place.
Well, you know, it's just like the other laws they put in, you know, that schools must update their anti-harassment and anti-discrimination policies and programs to include sexual orientation and gender identity, as well as race, ethnicity, nationality, gender, disability, and religion.
Right.
But a lot of them don't do that. They do different
things.
No,
they don't. They have it in paper form. Sorry.
Yeah, they do what their policy states, and sometimes their policy is wrong or it's out of date.
Right.
And then they don't worry
about
it.
They don't like update things.
No, and then they don't worry about it until it happens.
Right. And, you know, if you look at some of the laws, it's really crazy because some of the laws come as far as into, they go as far back as like when we were in school. It's crazy. They don't update them. I've seen that in some
yeah.
things. I'm like, holy crap, that's how it was when I went to school.
Yeah. You know,
so when you do your homework is when you find it.
You know, the other thing is like all the counties in California can use the Social Security Administration benefits database to find low-income individuals over 60 who may be eligible to participate in the Cal Fresh Food Stamps Nutrition Program, which I think that's a good thing.
Well, now the Cal Fresh Food Stamp Nutrition Program, now that's something kind of like what we have here, like the link, which is food stamps, but it's generated more for seniors to have better health nutrition, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Fran?
Hello?
Hi, Fran. Hello. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. And thank you again for that information last night. Just wonderful stuff.
Yeah, it's a little different than what most people are used to.
Okay, it didn't bother me. I'm sorry.
Well, I should hope not.
It's no,
just, like,
not at all. I enjoyed it.
It's, like I said, not everyone sees sign language and music and that song, Les Rebel.
Right.
That is a really fantastic song. And
it
the song... that is really, in my estimation, talking about us bikers.
Oh, I know. That's why I said it's a beautiful song.
We are, at this time in our lives, the last rebels. When you're talking about the kids and you're talking about this and that, there's been a lot of changes. It was going on when we were kids. It's just that there were a few of us that wouldn't accept that kind of brutal gang up and so forth. The only time that it seems like our police and judges are starting to do anything about it is when it ends up on YouTube, like that woman that was verbally abused on that bus. No 16-year-old
right.
woman. Ever encounter that kind of bullshit.
Exactly.
Well, if that was my kid, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right.
He wouldn't be sitting down for a good week.
Exactly.
That'd be the time I'd send him, you better go find yourself a good switch. Not a real thin one, not a real thick one. In either case, it's going to hurt.
Okay.
But the thing is the things that you're talking about where are the parents? Well, the parents are no longer there. They're all trying to do their best to put food on the table. And as far as manners go,
right.
they have not taught their kids manners.
No. This generation, a previous generation, not like when we were younger, you know, we had more respect and everything for elders and everything. Adults and what kids do now.
Well, you
God.
Know, I want you guys, I just got this sent to me, and I want you guys to hear this. This
okay.
is by a kid, his name is Jerry Masterson. He's 8 years old. Okay? He says, my
okay.
summer camp was fucked. So my parents sent me off to this fucking gulag for the most of my summer vacation, right? I mean, they don't love me anymore. That's fine. But why not hand me over to a foster home? Living with a couple of infertile alcoholic yuppies couldn't be any worse than the horse shit I've been through in the last 6 weeks. Anyway, it started out when Mom decides to send me to camp, to French camp, not space camp, not video camp, but French camp. What the fuck? So while all my friends are having fun back home wrecking bicycles, burning plastic paratroopers, throwing rocks at Cynthia Malloy, I'm stuck in goddamn frog camp studying French cooking, fencing, and art. But it couldn't get any worse, right? Actually, it could, and it did, because not only was this camp French, but it was also Christian. That's right, six fucking weeks of sitting next to French Jesus freaks at a campfire, eating baguettes and singing Kumbaya. It was like someone dug out my eyes with a rusty spoon and filled up the dry sockets with rubbing alcohol and razor blades. Well, mother, I hope you're happy, because you can rest assured that I didn't learn a goddamn thing at the farm for fascist pigs or fascist frogs. That's not true. I did learn one phrase. To all the counselors at French camp, I like to say, tu mirachou du ars dans la forêt collecte de marde. Or, your mother sucks beers. Or your mother sucks bears in the forest, you shit stains cum buckets, summer camp. That's the end. So some kids don't like summer camp, I guess.
Well, I didn't mind summer camp, it was band camp. Sorry. That was just a joke.
It's unfortunate that this kid felt that way. Actually, if I was sent to a Christian camp, I think I'd have a problem too, since I was kicked out of second grade. But
my parents sent me to summer camp, I lasted one day. They sent me home after that.
I believe that.
I went to camp, and I was supposed to send a letter home saying, by the way, we are supposed to be picked up by X day. I never sent the letter. I was at camp another 2 weeks with me and just the camp members. And I don't know how much they spent, but I know that there was a lot of money for me to be sent to camp. Now, it's unfortunate the kid went to that camp. But you know something? What my words to this kid would be? I can send him to a really, really nice camp. And that really, really nice camp would be where it's a boot camp. And you talk back, you sass back, you tell people to fuck off, they're going to take care of you, honey. They're going to give you the old yellow soap like they gave us.
Yeah, I went to that boot camp. It's called the United States Marine Corps.
Well, I had mine younger. That's probably why I wasn't their material by the time I got to that age. Not only that, back in those days, they wanted to make me a noice, or they wanted me to be a secretary, me of all people. If you wanted me to rebuild an engine, and I told the guy, I said, don't you have anything with, building engines and that kind of stuff? He says, no, not for women. I was like, well, I don't think you want me then. It's changed now, though.
Yeah.
But as far as a lot of the comments that were said, you talked about cars. Those cars, originally, when they were bought, were not to be sold in the United States. So actually, they did go out of country to Mexico, renovated, and then sold back to people in the States. The manner that a person can find out if the car had been submerged in water, the easiest test is to actually put your hand under the seat, those really fine, be careful, please, but those very fine wires, the only time that those wires become rusty is if that car, that seat has been underwater.
Right, or it's been immersed. Right. And a lot of people don't know that.
Well, we're educating them tonight.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But it's kind of sad because there's a lot of things that are happening. Again, you go back in time when you had neighborhoods, and we took care of our own. You know, if your mom wasn't home, you didn't have to worry about it because the mom down the street
Exactly.
You don't have
And if one child was, if the parents weren't there, that kid, your kid was with the neighbor or with the other neighbor, that's what I, and That's what I miss about society today. It's not that anymore. You know, I'm grateful to have the neighbors that I do because they're like that. We are like that together. But you don't, it's very rare to find that anymore, you know.
Right.
The other thing you have to look at is how many people are actually in the neighborhood or even in the same city in which they were born in. So
how many people are what?
Are even in the same city that they were born in.
I was. Now, when I could ride my motorcycle every day in California, I stayed.
Well, that you're one of few.
Yeah.
There was a time when people took a job. They took that job and they died doing that job.
Oh,
I have a guy that works with me.
And there's people that still do that.
I have a guy working for me. He'll probably be the last person in my lifetime that I know of that's worked 53 years at the same job.
We don't see that too often. The average right now is actually 5 years. 5 years, they've already moved on to another company.
Right.
So things have changed.
Our company's closed up and they were forced to go someplace else, you know.
Now, what I find embarrassing is when you have a mother calling a professor at the college, berating the professor for giving that kid a D. At that point, when the mother called in, at that point, the professor should have actually failed the kid and said, you know what, go to another university because you can't come here.
Right.
But now you also have students, because of technology and the phone, where they're texting their answers to each other during finals.
Yeah, which isn't cool at all.
Well, actually, if they're caught doing it during finals, any grades that they had gotten from any of their classes that semester are turned into failures. For that next 5 years, they may not take a class at that university or affiliate university. Many of the students don't even know that. Technically, they shouldn't even be having their phone in the classroom. You know, it's one thing if it goes on vibrate. Hey, cool. But answer that dang phone in that classroom? I don't think so. Text in that classroom? I don't think so.
Right.
They're paying, or their parents are paying, for them to take a seat in a college to perform, to be educated.
Right, not to sit there and fart around on the phone.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like when my daughter was in school, no sooner did she park the car, or when she was younger, get right to the school, phone was off until she got out, period. That's what you do. Well, that's what people do.
Yeah.
What the hell is normal half the time?
Oh. Yeah. You know, it's like I got a list today, you know, and I guess this makes me a terrorist and also the bulk of my friends terrorists. But I feel, damn, I'm in good company because the Department of Homeland Security reports the list that liberty lovers are terrorists. I guess because I fought for this country and I got wounded for this country and all that bullshit, that I'm a terrorist now because I want the freedoms that I fought for everybody now, as well as myself.
Wait a minute. Back that up. They're saying you're a terrorist now because you fought for this country?
Oh, yeah. Everybody that's a liberty lover.
Because you're standing your own and you're letting people be aware of something that makes you a terrorist?
Yeah, the new study funded by the Department of Homeland Security characterizes Americans who are suspicious of centralized federal authority and are reverent of individual liberty and were marked as extreme right-wing terrorists.
I have a question.
Go for it.
The question is, being on a terrorist list or being on a blacklist, is that or would that be considered the same in my time? I mean, I know that I was on a few lists of one kind of or another, but would that be the equivalent today as the list of terrorists?
Yeah. I have friends of mine that can't leave the country because they're on a terrorist list.
Okay.
They can't even
Whoa.
Leave the state. They can't even get on a plane because they're fucking on some list somewhere. I just
okay.
put the link up.
How do you get on? How do they put people on a list? This is a and I know we just ventured right off, but we'll go back to that. How does Homeland Security put you on a list? And how do they do it? Do they send you an email? Or is it you don't know until when you try to go someplace by airplane
or by car travel? They don't tell you. You won't know until you go somewhere. But it's entitled The Hot Spots of Terrorism, Other Crimes in the United States. It's from 1970 to 2008, and there's a PDF file for it. The study was produced by the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Responses to Terrorism at the University of Maryland. The organization was launched with the aid of the Department of Homeland Security funding. As usual, they got money to give to everybody, but fucking we got veterans on the street that can't eat and are living in a fucking cardboard box. To the tune of $12 million, while largely omitting the Islamic terrorism, the report fails to completely mention the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. The study focuses on Americans who hold beliefs shared by the vast majority of conservatives and libertarians and puts them in the context of radical extremism. And then I'm going to put up this other one. There's no link to it, but this is the story. You can put this in. You can Google this, and it'll tell you. Profiles of perpetrators of terrorism.
When back in my time, so that's a little ways.
It's not just your time. It's all our time. We all lived.
If you had gone to a political party that was considered extremist, you were automatically put on that list. And I don't know about now, but you were not actually able to find out if you were put on that list. I knew because of being involved with a couple groups back then that my name was on the list. Luckily, it didn't prevent me from working in some of the establishments, and it didn't make a difference in when my fingerprinting, because I had to be fingerprinted for several different jobs back in New York. But today, I don't know, can you find out today if you're on those lists? Or is it the same as 40 years ago that you knew that the list was there? It's just that you weren't able to find out if you were on that list.
Well, no, now because there's a Freedom of Information Act you can fill out, send in, and it's just at their discretion if they answer you or not.
All right, so...
You know that, Fran.
Yeah, it comes down to you're not really going to be... You're really not going to know. But that's standard protocol.
You know, it's just okay. Like when I send in an IA complaint and then I ask for procedure and policy with a public service request, and they'll answer me in a month or so about the IA complaint, but then the city attorney would, like the 8th or 9th day, just before the time runs out, they'll send me something telling me they don't have to give me that, and then I send them back the shit telling them, yes, they do. Or if they don't answer me at all, then I send a letter to the FBI, and they got 10 days to answer me, and if they don't, then I pick up the phone and I call Department of Homeland Security and I fax it over to the guy that I've been dealing with for the last 3 years. policies and procedures and police misconduct.
It would be interesting to find out what type of records or what is actually on.
FBI has the FBI with their Communities Against Terrorist program. The bulk purchase of food is labeled as a potential indication of terrorist activity, as in using cash to pay for a cup of coffee or showing interest in web privacy while using the internet in a public place. Because we all know that the federal government routinely characterizes mundane behavior as extremist activity or potential indicator of a terrorist intent. So, you know, they go back to their See Something, Say Something campaign.
Wow. But how do they... Okay. Do they show... Sorry.
It's just like last year when the Department of Homeland Security released all those videos to promote their See Something, Say Something campaign.
Right.
Yeah. In which almost all the terrorists portrayed in their public service announcements were white Americans. I didn't see any other fucking people in there but white Americans.
Hmm. My thing is, okay, if you don't do anything and they put you on a list, how do you even know you're on the list?
You've got to send in a public service request and ask. And if they send it back telling you they don't have to tell you that, guess what? You're on the fucking list.
So you have that right to sit there and send the Homeland Security if I'm on a list? Or can you tell me if I'm on a list of any kind? And then what if they don't respond at all?
Then you got your answer.
Wow.
Then you just
Isn't
send
that
it
crazy?
Back. You just keep sending it on and on and on.
Until you get an answer or some kind of response.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I didn't know if they go, like, say, if somebody from out of country can't travel here, I didn't know, like, using it as an example, meaning, like, if somebody wanted to come here to the States for a visit, okay, I didn't know if, like, once they get all their travel itinerary and everything all together, I didn't know if Homeland Security would send them an email or send them a letter or wait until they board a plane and they, wait a minute, hold the plane, here we come, you know, and take the person off the plane. How do they do that?
Yeah.
I'm not dumb, but I don't know much about Homeland Security.
Friends get on the plane, and the plane actually was turned around to take them off the plane.
And they don't get refunded their money, I'm sure, or anything.
They're doing that more and more where... if the person has a name, or they're not even looking at the age of the person. There have been children that were not allowed to board the plane because of their name. And
right.
Yes, they're not going to refund their money because that's not the airplane. It's not the airplane's problem because they're not the one that pulled them off the plane.
Nope.
Or didn't allow them to board. Either way.
I mean,
that's like the biggest thing right now is where a woman or somebody was bringing the ashes of a loved one onto a plane, and the TSA member opens it up and actually rifled their fingers through the ashes to make sure that there wasn't anything hidden in the ashes.
Right.
Oh, my God. Do you know how disgusting that is?
Well, that's violated.
Well, you know,
you heard about
12 state agents the other day that got fired for being drunk on a job?
No.
Yep. Yep.
Well, the question is, where did they get the booze?
Oh, come on. I've seen him in the airport. I've seen him at McDonald's with a fucking beer in San Diego.
Wow.
Eating lunch with a beer at McDonald's.
I thought they're not supposed to drink on the job.
Yeah, there's a lot of people are things you're not supposed to do while you're on a job, but it happens anyway. Come on.
Okay, now back
to the laws.
Go ahead, friend.
Okay.
Question is this. If you knew that you were on a list, let's say 30-some or 40-some years ago, would that still mean I'm still on some kind of list? Or do they finally decide you're too much of an old fart and let it go?
I don't think they expunge it. I don't think they do that. It's not like if you're a teenager, say you're 14 years old and you do something stupid, say you get caught drinking and you're not supposed to be driving because you don't even have your permit yet, you know, and you have to wait till you're 18. That comes off your record, you know. But from what I understand and from what I've known, if you are on a list, say in 1965, you were on a list because you were with people protesting against the Vietnam War, okay? I'm using this as an example. You're still on the list. They don't take you off. You're in a file, okay? You're not looked at because as long as you're not radically doing anything from that point to current date, you're in a quiet file. You know what I mean? You're not looked upon, but you're still on the list.
Yeah, I'll be on the list till the day I die. Well, what you're also referring to, and a number of people don't understand this, any violation, and this varies from state to state.
Okay.
Is it, even though they say that it's no longer there, that is not true. The record is actually still there on the person, and there's been cases where, like Florida, that even after the person is dead,
right,
their driving record is still on file.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So
I thought, like, once you pass, that's it, it's done, you know, because
you're not
talking from the grave.
No. And the perfect example is where lawyers will bring into a court case a previous action. And I'm going to go back. Oh, God, Well, you might remember how far back this was, but there was a camp over. I'm not going to mention the group that it was. We're going back probably 15 years ago.
Okay.
And on the campground, what actually happened was the person that worked the quarry was high, drunk, and he took the bulldozer and plowed through the camp.
Yep, I remember that.
Okay. Now, he did kill two people.
And he almost got killed himself.
Luckily the bullets didn't hit him. For a camp event that was supposed to be no guns, it was 250 some bullets, and not one hit him.
Yeah.
But putting that aside, I want to go back to the court case. In that court case, when people say, well, once the violation is over, it's no longer there. That's not true. They had proven, because he had had a conviction against him using his car trying to mow over a relative.
Right.
It was up to the judge to either allow that as admissible information or not. Mm-hmm. And because of what he had done at the campsite, they deemed that as pertinent information and allowed it into the court case. So, and there was a number of years in between those two events.
That's correct.
So when people think, that their previous actions cannot be held against them. That is not true. That information is still there. All the lawyer has to do is find that he had done something like that, then forces the information and bring it into the courts. Then the courts have to make the decision if it's a yay or nay to let it go.
Right.
Well, what are things that put you on a list?
Nora,
what?
If you buy 14 days worth of food from the grocery store, you're on a list.
Oh, true.
If you buy ammunition, you're on a list. If you if you buy bottles of water that they think is in excess, you're on a list.
I buy a case of water. Does that put me on a list?
Yeah. Depends on how many cases
you
buy.
Just to buy a case of water? A case could last me like a week and a half, you know?
Well,
depending
actually,
upon the heat.
If you only buy a case a week, that's standard MO for you. You go
right.
in... You go buy 50 cases, and
it's
right.
just like when my broker said, buy canned goods and ammo.
Wow.
This is similar to when, and again, a number of people don't know this or understand this. Most times you can put $1,000, $2,000 into a bank account.
Right.
Once you go over and put in $3,000 or $4,000,
right,
the IRS is notified.
Even if it's just one time?
Doesn't matter. They're notified.
Oh my God!
Because the question is where did that money? Where did you come by that money? So then, at that point, yes, you become. I don't want to say a suspect, but at that point,
right.
they're going to watch you because then they're going to see, are you putting in more money?
Right.
And if you are, where is that money coming from? And that comes from part of the laundering system. If I use you for, you're putting in $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, taking it out, and now it's laundered.
Okay. But if it comes, like, say, at one time, like on a paycheck or something, or excess on a paycheck, you know, they don't look at it after that if it doesn't happen again, or...
Like my old Italian friend used to tell me, you went into Vegas shooting dice.
Well, actually, you know what? Then you better have done that, because at that point... they will have had that documented and on video that you won that.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I know they have the cameras inside the casinos.
That's now, Fran. I'm talking about years ago.
Yeah, years ago, but anytime anybody puts in any account more than X amount of dollars over a period of time,
right,
that is out of the norm.
Right.
Now, definitely if it's more than $3,000, I think every bank has to notify the authorities.
Wow.
Problem is if it was given to you in a check, you're screwed because you have to deposit the check in order to even...
to get the money. Right.
Right. So either way, IRS is going to know. Unless someone gives it to you in cash, then you can put it in, you know, $500 a week.
A little bit at a time, right, and smaller increments. Yeah. Cool. How crazy is that? I never even knew that.
Well,
thank God when you're just po and you don't have to worry about it. Oh, God. Too funny.
Well, but the thing is, someone dies and leaves you $50,000. You take
right.
a check for $50,000 in the bank, you're on the watch list. Now, putting the $50,000 in, they'll be able to look at the paper trail,
right,
and see that you came by legally. But then they're going to ask, then they're going to watch to see if you pay the taxes on it.
Well, of course you're going to pay the taxes, Anna. You know you have to.
Okay.
just because you have to doesn't mean people are going to do it. I get that. I mean, when my mother passed, you know, I made sure they did a death tax, you know, the same with my brother, so that way IRS couldn't come back and say anything. It was done. It was done the right, proper channel way, okay? And it wasn't like a lot came back. It was just a small amount, you know, just a couple hundred. So it wasn't anything to look at. But now the files are closed with IRS because they know it's a death. Everything's done. Poof. File closed on this person. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't realize they have to do that, you know.
Now, if this varies from state to state.
Right.
California is a very greedy state.
Well, so is Illinois.
But if people don't put their assets into a family trust, which essentially means that the person doesn't own anything because it belongs to the trust.
Right.
And then the state can't force an executor and force and steal half of what that person owns. And that's what they do. If you don't have it in a family trust,
right?
And let's say you own a $100,000 house, they're going to take $500,000 of it.
Right.
And if you don't have that $500,000 to pay them, they're going to force you to sell it to pay them their half.
That's not.
That's California.
Wow.
So when people think that, well, I'll just put it in a will and yada, 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 and everything's going to be fine. No, it doesn't work that way in California. California,
right.
If you have a will, they're going to take half.
Now, see, like in Illinois, you have a will and it works different. Okay? Like when my mom passed, the house came to me upon her death. Okay, so when the will was filed and everything else, everything was done. Everything was paid. You know what I mean? They didn't come back and say, well, you owe X amount of money because you obtained property from a death. Nothing like that. Not in this bill.
Well, but, you know, you still have to check the fine because just like vehicle laws and everything else, they change.
Right.
And at this point, I would, no matter what state I was in or what country, I would actually have to go and investigate how my country, my state, or whatever, deals with family, wills, property, probate, and then make a decision in what's best for that state or country.
Right.
Because even if you say that today, just like car laws, it could have changed and that no longer applies.
Right.
So this is, again, going back to you have to do some of your own work to ensure that
everything is still the same.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Right.
And at that point, the responsibility falls upon the person, not the state. The state says, oh, goody, we got some money coming in.
Right. Now, I've checked for the last 8 years. Every year I check. So far, everything is where it's at this way, you know.
I mean, I just wonder how many people that are actually listening tonight are going, oh, my. I never have considered that, and it's like, well, I think they better. And it will save every person a great deal of grief if all of the paperwork is completed.
Right.
I unfortunately have still more paperwork that has to be completed.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, you have paperwork upon paperwork. It's like, come on. You know, it's insane, but you got to do everything to cover your butt to make sure Everything is fine.
Well, that goes back, and we're going to go back to vehicles again.
Yep.
When the vehicles, and John and I had meant to do this, and on almost all the vehicles, it always had John's and my name on it. Well, when he died, guess what? There are two vehicles that were in his name only.
Right.
And so now I have to jump through some hoops to also have to make sure that those vehicles are in the family trust, which I don't know if they were, so that I legally own them outright. But that's where I'm saying, you know what, folks? You could cover your butt the best you can.
Right.
There's still going to be small nuances that are going to be detrimental.
Right.
And then, of course, you always have the family members that want to line up. Now, one thing.
I know.
Well, but, okay. The difference between a will and a family trust is this. If you write a will, I can contest it.
Right.
And I can drag it in court for years.
Right. Probate.
Family trust, I could leave a person nothing, and they can't do anything. They can't contest it because it's in a family trust. And it is spelled out 100% as to what is to be done. John and I had our paperwork done to the extent that if our son died before us, if blah, blah, blah died before us, it was actually spelled out as to who was the next in line to receive the house.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not just thinking, oh, our children. No, the children may very well die before you.
Right.
So, I mean, that's again, I mean, we don't like to think in those terms.
Well, no, but you have to look at it in the reality form that it is. Like when my mom did her will, she wrote my brother out, and I got it all. Well, my brother also died 7 months after my mother did. So there wasn't anything that, I mean, he could have contested it, but he didn't because, you know, he had the same disease that my mom died from, you know. So it was just, he knew it was in the right hands, everything else, yada, yada, yada. You know, he was here. I took care of him until he died, you know, just like I did with my mom. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing. If he wasn't ill, I have no idea what would have happened because he was angry that he was written out. But, you know, when you just consistently, you know, do horrible to people, you know, it comes back and bites you in the ass one way or another, you know.
Again, once again, John and I were lucky because we learned from another biker. One of the bikers had a head-on collision and died. And by the way, this biker was a lawyer.
Wow.
And because he had not taken care of the family business, okay?
Right.
What ended up happening, she ended up having to take a $20,000 loan out so that she could keep the house up to date. They forced her into selling the business, and they took the money from that. At that point, she should have just filed bankruptcy. But even his children told the judge, let her sell the house. And the judge didn't. She wound up going into $40,000 in hock.
Right.
So that she could resolve it. And it wasn't resolved in 1 year, 2 years. It took 5 years for the courts to finally say, oh, okay, that's enough penance. Now you can do whatever you want.
Right.
So this is where a will or what have you does not save your ass. Having it as a legal document and spelling it out. And again, you have to go state by state to see what is acceptable, you know, as a family trust or, you know, along those lines, and then make sure that it's done, all the I's and T's are crossed, whatever. But no, it's not an automatic, and the judge at that point is the one that can actually hang a person up. And he did. He hung her up for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
And he
it's like up to 10 years, 7 to 10 years in probate, depending upon the assets and everything else.
Well, this is one of those situations.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm going to live forever until the guy hits me. Well, we were talking at the debate meeting, you know. A biker was killed. He was 51 years old. He was killed. And the person, it was a right-of-way issue. And, yes, the person is going to pay for stealing the biker's right-of-way. But my concern, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If he spends a year, 5 years, 10 years in jail, he was 51. That means that he had children that were in their 20s, maybe 30s. He might have had grandchildren, and they're all going to grow up without that person.
Wow. I know.
Well, money is not the issue.
No.
Stupidity, on the other hand, it's not going to happen to me. You have the issues of, I had two people today violate my right of way. And I know what the fuck attitude was, is because it's a woman on a bike.
Right.
If it weren't the fact that I was going to get hurt, I should have just ran into that side of her door and let her have it full gun.
Right.
But, I think that would have hurt a little too much.
It would have.
It's just that would have hurt a little. Well, actually, yeah, it would have hurt
a lot.
I've been there before. And not only that, then I'd have to have the bike fixed and all that. And I'm like, you know what?
Too much of a pain in the balls.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm still, even at 61, it's a good thing I'm still quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually, my poor bike actually did the dance.
Really?
Skidding dance. Yeah. That was from a guy. A guy pulled in front of me. You know, at least it was fair. It was one guy and one female. Two people violated my right of way. One male, one female. So at least we're not being sexist tonight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
okay, we're leaving you out, Phil.
No, go ahead. You guys say you're on a roll. I did, you know, sometimes I know you can't get a word in the edgewise with two women talking, so.
Really?
Well, actually, you've had, lately, the most experience with oopses. How fair were you treated with your insurance company? I know that when my truck was stolen, they said, bend over and kiss your ass goodbye because you don't get nothing. And that's really basically, even though I paid extra money to cover my truck, they said my stuff that was in the vehicle is not their concern.
Wow.
Take it out of my home policy. Well, if you have a $2,000 deductible on your home policy, guess what? Bend over and kiss it, because what are you going to get back? And then, on top of that, you have to prove that it was in the truck to start with.
Yeah, I'm looking. I had an insurance agent send me an article. I'm looking for it right now. Why are you talking about that? But,
like a good neighbor, State Farm isn't there?
No. Here. Okay, what Fran says is true. I'll put this link up in the chat room right now. Okay?
Okay.
I had a couple of oopses. And
You got oopses? Oh.
The oopses, the one oops was I got hit by a drunk on another bike on I-5. The other oops was I took my bike in to get serviced and it got away from the guy while he was test riding and he wrecked it. And then, but what will happen with my insurance after motorcycle accidents? Okay. So with the number of motorcycle accidents, this is from an insurance agent in California. With the number of motorcycle accidents in California increasing year after year, Sacramento motorcycle accident attorneys are frequently asked by clients what they can expect to happen with their insurance after they've been in a crash. As with near everything to do with the law, there is no real black and white answers. It all depends on the circumstances. This article looks at the things you should and shouldn't do immediately after an accident and how you should handle any possible insurance claim. Start collecting information from the moment the accident happens. Many California motorcycle accidents end with cyclists being seriously injured or killed. Clearly, in these cases, gathering evidence and information is not going to be possible. So for now, we'll hope and pray that if you're involved in a motorcycle accident, you're not too badly banged up. Well, my shoulder's hanging off. I'm laying on the ground, and this guy was on a little Vespa scooter. And I guess some of the newer ones can go 60, 65 miles an hour, but he was in a slow lane. Anyway, he pulled over and came out there, and he got all the information for me. And he gave it to my son when they went to pick up my bike.
Wow.
So, clearly in these cases, gathering that information is not going to be possible. So for now, we'll hope and pray that if you're involved in a motorcycle accident, you're not too badly banged up. If you're able to think clearly and get your hands on a pen and a piece of paper, start writing. Get as much of the following information as possible. If another vehicle is involved, get the driver's full name, license plate, phone number, and insurance details. If a car was involved and contained passengers, ask them for their names and numbers as well. If your cell phone survived the crash, get it out and start taking pictures of the vehicles involved and any damage done. If the police get involved, ask for a business card or their name and phone number. They might come in useful, and it's very good information to have for your motorcycle accident lawyer. If you're not at fault, you'll want to file a claim. Now let's go on the assumption that the other driver caused the accident. You think you won't be blamed because the at-fault driver told you he had not been paying attention and will sort it out, and they're just glad you're okay. You go home because you're sore but not feeling too badly apart from the scratches and scrapes. It's hard to describe how many mistakes are mentioned in the previous paragraph. For example, it's extremely common for at-fault drivers to admit liability at the scene, often in the hope that you won't then call the police, only to recant their admission later on. 2. By going home without first seeking medical help, you've already potentially damaged two things, namely your future health, and many motorcycle accidents injuries take days or even weeks to fully manifest themselves. No matter how minor you think your injuries might be, any accident victim should get checked over by a doctor or a trained medical provider. 3, your insurance claim. The insurance companies use software programs to determine how much to offer you as a settlement if one of their clients was involved in a crash. If you don't get help immediately and certainly within 72 hours of the accident, you're severely downgrading your chances of receiving a fair settlement no matter how serious your injuries end up being. 4, if you caused the accident, you might want to consider not filing a claim at all. By all means, get advice from a motorcycle attorney if you think you caused the accident or had the lion's share of the blame for it. In fact, you may be better off not filing a claim at all. You get an estimate for repairing your bike before contacting your insurance company. It will give you a good idea of whether you should even bother putting in a claim. And then taking on that road, I had the driver of the other car, his insurance company called me and started giving me the bullshit about my bike. And when I told the guy, well, here's the deal, man. This bike is used in photo shoots. He said, no, I know you guys take good care of your bikes. I said, no, you're not listening. Fran, you've seen my bike. It's in pristine condition, correct?
And I know a few of the pictures.
Okay. I sent this guy 12 pictures. He called me back and said, we're going to fix your bike. And they fixed it the way it was before the accident. Both times.
Well, I'm going to throw a spin on this. This happened to, again, a couple years ago, a biker that was a friend of John and mine. And the accident was so severe on one of our freeways here, and all of the vehicles that were involved actually got into a conclusion on it, and they figured that the biker was dead, and that so what they had all essentially done is blamed the motorcyclist for the accident.
Right.
To their amazement, that biker didn't die. He did have to have someone else's leg put on, but
Brandon, you remember when that tow truck happened to hit the 50 cars up at the checkpoint in San Clemente in the fog?
No, that I don't remember.
Well, my friend Andy just got out of the Marine Corps and he got a job with a towing company, and he was working about 3 weeks, and he good guy, good driver's license, everything. Anyway, somebody caused the accident at the front of the thing. At the checkpoint. This was at the checkpoint. 50 cars and one tow truck.
Damn.
Everybody ran into the back of everybody, and then they figured out at the end, since Andy hit the one car and pushed that car into the other cars, and everybody pushed into each other, it all backpedaled back to the truck Andy was driving in that company.
Well, usually it is the last one that hits buys it all.
Right. So even if you have, let me finish the story. Even if you were at fault for the accident and the other driver filed a claim against you, that doesn't mean you automatically have to file a claim to fix your own bike. You might be far better off fixing the bike yourself. For starters, you can take as long as you need to get your motorcycle back on the road. No, that's why I pay those guys. They're going to fix it and give it back to me. Damage estimates are not the same as for cars. When a car is damaged in an accident, an insurance company will often insist if you take the vehicle to a specific location, you get an estimate. This isn't usually the case with motorcycles, and that can work in your favor. Maybe we'll be able to shop around and find parts that are considerably cheaper than those that would be used by the main dealer and the place where you bought the motorcycle. And let me touch on that one, because my Black Dyna has no chrome, very little chrome. And my front brake is a dual disc, and it has the reservoir underneath the forks at the underneath the tree. And it goes up to the handlebars, and they bought me chrome. They replaced bottom lines, but not the top lines. And one of the top lines from the handlebar had a scuff mark in it right at the kink, at the crimping. And I called them up and I said, hey, you replaced the bottom. Why aren't you going to replace the top part? And she said, well, we gave you that and that's all we're going to give you. And I said, okay, then let me ask you this. I need you to sit down right now and write me a waiver that you refuse to change the brake line, so I have it that in case anything happens, you guys are on the hook, because you don't want to spend another $179 to make it right. Well, within 20 minutes, everything was taken care of, and they fixed it.
Okay. Now I'm going to go back to another thing here. And because you're a person that's going to fine-tune, and when you get on the bike, you're going to be able to feel if it's right or wrong. There's a number of us that can do that. When I had an oops, the actual tire was bad. And luckily the insurance company said not a problem, and they automatically replaced it. I don't know if today's riders would be able to identify or even know what to look for if they had brought it to a shop and they did the cutting corners, so to speak.
Well, I'm here to tell you, I'm here to tell you, friend, that Oceanside has one motor cop with his head so far up his ass that he's so fucking anal, that prick got on his hands and knees to look at my tire to see if my tires were validated.
Holy crap. Well, my concern is, like I said, there's a few of us that we could actually take a bike out for a test ride, and we would know if that bike is okay, if it's steering correctly and what have you. But with all of the individuals that are out there today, I don't know if I could say that someone would have noticed that crimp line. I don't. And once you sign it and take it off, they're going to turn around and say, well, how do we know that you didn't do that after you left the shop? Like I say, most shops, they're going to be forthright and honest and what have you. Well, let's face it, there's a couple shops that might bring something in and your bike checks out, but not with its original parts. But again, you know, that's kind of the buyer beware and all that happiness. Overall, I don't think that today's motorcycle riders are that aware of their motorcycle that if something went wrong, that they would know where to start.
That's true.
And
I mean, I've had guys. I said there was a guy following me today, and he I was splitting lanes, and I was doing 75, and I guess he didn't think I was going fast enough, and he swung over into the oncoming lane. On the inside between the number 2 and 3 lane, splitting lanes there. So I got cars now. I thought I was going to play bumper tag going up there. I had to slow down and let the asshole go so I can continue on my journey.
That's a wiser move.
Yeah.
I saw a person actually almost rear-end 2 different vehicles within a mile. And the driving skills, the level of driving out there today has diminished. And I don't know what can be done to actually repair that. I don't know if forcing these people to have to go and retest. Maybe we should actually, I mean, California Highway Patrol has the right. Instead of issuing a ticket, they can issue a re-road test ticket. I don't know if you're aware of that. And,
right.
And maybe, for some reason, maybe that's what they should be off putting in more, a re-road test ticket. Someone rear-end somebody. Instead of giving, you know, you can give them whatever you want, but also give them a re-road test ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the state will have to work a little harder, but guess what? Maybe if they are re-road tested, which is, I mean, I wouldn't want to have to be re-road tested, but you know what? I don't have a bit of problem with being re-road tested.
Yeah.
Maybe these people should be re-road tested.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
If this is done, well, okay. John, before he died, had to do a re-road test to keep his license.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be an age issue. I think that re-road testing. Now, the way that they've been able to get around an age discrimination is by saying that it's a lottery system and today's, you know, your number was pulled for a road test.
Right.
Because they can't say anyone over 70 must take a road test. Although I do think California has something similar to that. And then they have, after every so often, you have to take a written test. Every 2 years after a certain age, you have to take a written test.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into DMV and you look shaky, when they turn you over to the adult section, and oh, heaven help you. Because now your life is going to be complete hell. You thought it was hell before? Now it's going to be complete hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because once those people get a hold of you, then they want you to go through driver training with a person that is qualified to do that type of training. After you've done X amount of hours with that type of training, then you can come back for a re-road test and so forth. At least John and I, when we did that type of training, at least we were honest and actually let these people have a true driving test prior to going to a drive test. Unfortunately, some of them we've actually said, you know what, turn in your keys because you can't see.
Right.
And of course, they didn't like hearing that, but at that point, we're not going to take the responsibility of saying, okay, here, you pass. Go take your road test.
Yeah.
Because at that point, John and I, we had that attitude, if that person killed somebody, that's on us. Because we should have gone that extra mile. Whether the person liked us or not, that's not the issue. But we're going back to the dollar is a dollar. And there's a few people we knew in the industry that would take some dollars for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
The school that John and I worked for, I don't know about now, but back then, our school was asked, do you want to have the rights to license somebody? And we were all asked, and we said, no, because then the onus is on us if this person truly is capable of driving. That person go and kill somebody after getting, you know, a license by us, and then we're responsible because we said they were able to drive. Instead of forcing it onto DMV to say, you better go have some more practice. So that's where a lot of that actually comes in. So, I mean, that's something that I know a lot of people don't want to hear. Go for a road test? Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather have someone road test, or would you rather have someone out there kill you? I don't know. Forcing grandma to go take a road test sounds pretty dang good to me.
Yeah.
Here in California as well, I can't say that person needs to be re-road tested. However, here in California, if that is a relation, husband, grandmother, whatever, then I can request that DMV reevaluate the person, and they are not supposed to let the person know that we're the ones that had essentially spilled the beans. If anyone in California, any state actually, blacks out, then at that point it takes two doctors to be able to clear the person so that they can start driving again.
Right.
So if someone has had too much coffee and too much whatever and passes out, winds up going to the emergency room, they're in trouble. Because at that point, they could very well lose their license until they can medically prove that it was not a medical problem that caused them to pass out.
Right.
Well, how do we? We sure covered an awful lot of weird topics tonight.
But it's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. We've gone everywhere, almost.
What? At this point, what haven't we covered?
Okay, Nora. You take us somewhere we haven't been before, and not the kitchen.
Woo!
Let's see. I will take you back to the laws. We have two left. And then we can go wherever you want. No, and I'm going to stay out of the kitchen. It's too damn hot. Okay. Now, Sacramento is also going for individual and group health insurance providers must cover maternity service. Now, did they not ever cover it before? Did people just have babies and have to pay out of their pocket and they didn't have insurance coverage?
No.
Well, because they're saying individual and group health insurance providers.
Mm-hmm.
So some form of insurance companies in Sacramento were not covering maternity.
Right.
I thought all states covered maternity.
No.
Odd. Anyhow, our last one is health care insurance must, or insurers must, provide coverage for behavioral treatment of autism for children and young adults. Now, that is a wonderful thing that I like to hear, because you don't know at birth that your child's going to be autistic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that they offer this, you know, in Sacramento. Too bad. I don't know what other states cover, because unfortunately I don't have a clue to that. But like I said, it is a first step, because it may go other places and not just only in Sacramento.
Well, I can't talk about autism, but I can tell you, if you go back and find, I'm involved with the Ride for Kids, which is coming up in October in our area. And the Ride for Kids is dealing with brain tumor.
Right.
If you go back in time, St. Jude was the only hospital that would take care of these children. The insurance company would not pay a dime for their care. Not a dime. When they found out that the child had a brain tumor, they wrote it off. It's your problem and not ours. And so for years, that was how it happened. You actually ended up going to the one hospital because of their dedication and their ethics in taking care of the individuals is the only reason that these families had medical care.
Right.
As far as today goes, there is a lot of money made for these children.
Right.
San Diego has one of the highest participants of these children that come to the ride.
Uh-huh.
What I always find fascinating about this is that the parents of these children, they are overly joyed that bikers are willing to do something for them, and they don't even know them.
Friend, that's just like that young kid that had that, he was real sick, and the guy who was his caregiver, remember? We had almost 5,000 bikes ride by this kid's house.
Oh yeah, that was just 8 months ago.
Right.
That was, I think that kid has leukemia.
Right.
And everybody
was like up in arms because all the bikes, they didn't know where they were going at first when they got off the freeway in Carlsbad, and everybody had a panic attack till they stopped the one guy and he told them where they were going. Then they decided they were going to give escorts because they were backed up on a freeway for almost 7 miles.
Funny, I was, as always, I saw a whole bunch of brakes going on in front of me with those the pack of bikes.
Yeah.
As as the traffic is being stopped all the way across, because at that point we don't know if there's going to be several bikes involved in a collision, there is a motorcyclist going past all of us on its side as sparks are flying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unfortunately, you have individuals who they've ridden for years, and you know what? They're really good riders. And don't get me wrong, they're really good riders. But you know, there's a time and place to ride fast. There's a time and place to know that when you have that much going on in front of you, you don't push the limits.
No.
And you don't get that close. We had a bike that caught on fire. We had a bike that broke down. There were so many things that were happening right there at the exit. I actually pulled over to assist one guy to fix his bike, but luckily he found a screw that was able to work so that he was able to use the clutch pedal and he was off. But at that point, I was ready to fix it anyway. But the thing is when there is that much going on, it was only mm-hmm. supposed to be, all the kid wanted was 1,000 bikes. Yes, there were over 3,000.
All he wanted was 100.
No, that was the first year.
Right.
He actually wanted 1,000. He ended up with 3. And I think that is awesome, because for once it was not a cough up some dollars and join this ride and this is what we're going to do. This was, here is a kid that is dying. Let's show him that we care and let him have this last wish. And that, you know what? That's the way it should be. That's where bikers have always shined. We will always outshine any group that's out there because our heart is in the right place. We have always taken care of our own.
Right.
And that's the same thing with this kid. It's the same with a ride for kids. And, you know, we are always looking for people that have sidecars, because the children can only go in a sidecar. They have to be protected. However, we also give rides to the parents and siblings. They generally ride on the trikes. And they are so overwhelmed that the biking community, of all the communities out there, are willing to do this for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome.
You know, Bobby just gave me a news flash. The California Assembly Bill 1047, the motorcycle only checkpoints, passed the assembly floor today, 77-0. This only goes to prove the effectiveness of a grassroots movement to make our voices heard. If the bill now goes to the governor, he can do one of three things: sign the bill into law, or veto the bill, or ignore the bill. Becomes law if ignored.
Well, what do you think he's going to do?
I hope he signs it.
I'm trying to remember what he has done in the past.
Well, if you can't remember, it ain't nothing good.
Well, that doesn't mean much. My brain doesn't work as well as it used to.
You just said you were fine.
My brain don't work as it used to, honey. I mean, there's like things that I can't even remember what I did yesterday. Actually,
I hear you.
That's probably because I don't want to remember what I did yesterday.
Feel bad. I walked into a room in the house and forgot what I went in there for.
Yeah, I've done that a lot lately.
Yep.
I wish I could remember what actually, you know what? He would be foolish to not take action on it. thinking that of a politician, first off, this is taking any money out of his pocket. He doesn't have to put a task force together to do this. He doesn't have to worry about what's the next level, what's the next court, and all that. He doesn't have to worry about it if he sends it through.
Right.
It would be suicide in one sense if he chooses to block it or send it back for review when there has been that many people that think, yo, this is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Because at that point, when you have that many people that said, this is not a good thing, well, one of the reasons why they're looking at it and saying this is not a good thing is because at that point, it could be taken to California Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, the thing, like Bobby says here, he says, I think both the people and the legislature have made their voices heard.
It's only heard when it passes and all the I's and T's are taken care of.
Yeah. Well, Brown would be foolish to veto that because it's no impact on the California budget at all.
That's what I'm saying.
The money they would use for that would go somewhere else.
Correct. That is correct.
Yep.
So it would be a win-win. Especially when that many people have decided that they don't want to get into this kind of a fight.
No.
Which is also saying that this legislators are picking their battles.
Yeah, they are.
That they can actually enforce. Whereas, like Susan Gold... The nanny law pusher, she pushes so many laws that even the officers are shaking their head because they can't enforce what she's pushing.
I know.
And a lot of those laws should be removed from the books so that they are effective.
Yeah, and Nora sent me a list of laws for the United States. Do you have that list handy, Nora?
A list for the United States?
Yeah, about all the things you can't do in certain states.
Well,
no,
you better
I'm
not.
Sorry.
If you park, they'll probably charge a tax on the gas.
No, I forget what the heading said.
Yeah, I forget that too.
Okay.
So I feel like a complete boob. I'm sorry.
Well, don't feel like a boob. Shit happens.
Yeah, I know. But we can bring this up on Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
See, Thursday now, I don't know if everybody heard me in the beginning of this, but we're going to have my friend Emilio Rivera, who plays the president of the Mayans on the Sons of Anarchy, is going to stop by. And so if you have any questions for Emilio... write them down now and call in Thursday and he'll answer your questions.
I want to be an old hag biker on the show. and I'll be a pussy cat.
Let me tell you something. Bill is so hot to get on that show, he told him I'll stand there and look like a fire plug.
There have been quite a few that I'm going to go back 20 years. 20 years ago, they were looking for bike testers. And you had to be available for 2 days a month. And I really wanted to be a bike tester. This was one of those, I wanted this one. Okay. They sent me 25 pages to fill out. I asked them a question, because when you're testing these particular, I had no idea what these bikes were, but I wanted to test them. And apparently, you could get electrical shock from them or whatever. But I still wanted to test these damn bikes. Okay. So I asked the question, and I said, well, if there's an accident, because they actually video and they have a crew following you on these bikes, okay? And so I asked them, I said, if there's an accident, you're going to assist, right, and take care of it? And they said, well, not necessarily. And it's like, oh, this is going. The fact that I couldn't be there to test the bike for that one particular month, I was gone. And the fact, that I was a woman was a second mark against me. And it was like, damn these people. They have no idea what they lost in a bike tester. That would have been so cool. Oh, well. Life is short.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like if you remember that series Renegade.
Yep, I love that.
Yeah, there was a lot of us in that.
Oh, hell, I'm going to have to try and go look at some of those.
Yeah, my hair was shorter then.
Shorter?
Yep.
Shorter? Right. Well, yeah, because in the military, you got to have it short.
Yeah.
I mean, a buzz, you know.
A good old buzz cut?
No. No, actually, it was about an inch and a half on the top comb back. And people said when I was younger, people used to say I looked like Charlie Sheen.
Ooh. Yeah, they've had some individuals around and what have you that here in OD that ride a bike. And the Indian that rode in that series, Renegade. I can't think what his name is. But do you know, at least he was the only person up at Sturges that gave me a fair estimate of time of how long it was going to take me to ride home from Sturges.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about, what the hell is his name?
Well, I know. Sweet guy. I tell you what, that guy is a pleasure to talk to. He is a real person. He's not...
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
But he was wonderful.
Oh, Branscombe Richmond. Branscombe Richmond is his name.
Richmond. The one...
Branscombe Richmond.
Richmond. The one problem I had coming back from Alaska, going to Sturges, and then Sturges is home, asking all of these bikers, how long will it take me from point A to point B, from point B to point C? And do you know that they all hemmed and hawed and would not say, well, it'll take a week, 10 days, none of them. They would have
right.
all been wrong anyway. But that's besides
right.
the point. He was the only one that would give me...
Hold on one second, friend. Bobby, I don't know if he's going to do that, but I will talk to him about that. I mentioned to him that we were all going to be protesting that.
Ooh, what were we protesting?
The LA
so
calendar
many
month.
Things.
I love protesting. That's what got me in trouble to start with.
I was going to say, that's why you're on the list. Oops.
Yeah. Is that one of those things again?
Did
yeah.
I do that?
Yeah. I got another message that says I'm too busy and thank you. It's not that I'm too busy. I'm trying to do everything here and run this and run that. When Bill's here, it kind of breaks the monotony. But when I'm by myself, it's kind of hard for me to do everything at once. I'm bouncing back and forth on different things. And if anybody didn't get the attention that they think they deserve, I apologize.
Well, you know, now bow down on your hands and knees and kiss our little toes and everything will be okay. Please.
Does the expression blow me do anything for you?
bite me. Okay,
oh, but
we're done.
You know, and like I said, get back to this thing with Bobby. I don't know if he's going to do that. We'll ask him about that. And that should be an interesting conversation, and I'll make you aware of what the answer and the replies are. Okay. I'm done. Go ahead. Yes, it is a fair question. You're right. We talked about that Sunday. Me, him, Rusty, and Bernie, and Shane, and about six other people, and also Chris Delgard from Quick Throttle, his wife Lisa, we talked to everybody about it. So we're going to see what happens. And I'm sure Art Hall and Pete Alva and Randy Twelves will be up there taking pictures of everybody outside. That's the word I got. But what I'd like to do is we're down to the last 4 minutes. So what I'd like to do is invite everybody, not to cut this short, but I'm going to,
That's okay. Fran and I and you, we can pick up on Thursday after, you know, when it's later on in the show.
Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little Everlast, What It's Like, and see all you people, everybody Thursday. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night, Fran. Good night, Bobby. Good night, Kat. Good night, everyone.